creature this is, and the fact that horse leeches can grow as they're fed to several inches, up to 8, I read, as I was studying this. Now, wouldn't that be beautiful to see an 8-inch, very stuffed leech hanging around on your friend? Not you, of course. Yeah. 8-inch leech. They don't start out as 8 inches. They don't start out like that. They fill up because it takes a lot for a leech to get satisfied. Two daughters this leech has. Two daughters. Some questions here pop up as we look at this at this verse. So, first thing I want to say is that the book of Proverbs as a whole, its purpose is given to us in chapter 1 and verse 4, in which we learn that the book of Proverbs is meant to instruct the young man in the dark and decadent ways of the world, not glamorizing sin, but warning him about the destructive ways of this world. We see that Proverbs 1:4. It's also meant to give wisdom to young men. Why do young men need wisdom? Well, because their experience is low, but their dangers are high. And so Solomon here wanted to give wisdom to men and women while they were young, because their experience is low, but the danger is huge. Let's protect the young from this massive amount of danger that's lurking at any moment, wanting their life, wanting their mind, wanting their purity. So the foolish man is warned about, right? The foolish man, the silly, impetuous woman is warned against. The warning is given against hardening one's neck to instruction. Why? Because young have little experience, but many dangers. We get to chapter 30, and let's look at the beginning of this chapter and find that this is the words of Agur, the son of Jacob. Now, what we do know in this chapter, Agur, we're not familiar with, but we do know in this verse 1 is that it's a prophecy. Even the prophecy, and these proper names that are given here, Agur, Jacob, Ithiel, and Ukal, are unknown. It has been assumed that Agur may be a reference to David, Solomon's father, and but we have a prologue in verses 2 through 10 to the prophecy, verses 2 through 10. Is a prologue to the prophecy, and we do know this about it. Verse 5, whatever is said, it's God's word, and every word of God is pure. Why should we listen to this prophecy? Look at the second part of verse 5. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So whatever is going to come after this, whatever the prophecy is, it's God's words, it's pure, and we have a warning to not add to it. The prophecy begins then in verse 11 with four references to an age or a generation of men. Verse 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Secondly, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet not washed from their filthiness. Thirdly, verse 13, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. In verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour. Teeth are as swords. I picture that leech. Its mouth is round, kind of like a big sucker, but inside that mouth, got these razor sharp, they're not big, but they're enough to dig in deep and hold on, teeth. Maybe here, verse 14, not speaking of words, but actually of this insatiable desire for blood to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. What can we say about this generation that's prophesied that is going to live on earth? It curses the very parents who gave it life, love, and support. It wants out. If parents say something they don't like, they make excuses. They want out from that. Secondly, self-absorbed, doing their own thing, verse 12. Operates on the premise that there's no right or wrong. Anything that one deems pure is pure. And then steeped in decadence. It's a generation. Keep your finger there and let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's a generation that also is without excuse. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. We'll read the last phrase and then the next verse. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Back to Proverbs chapter 30. It's a generation that thinks itself wise, yet independent of God, becomes obsessed with creating its own reality. So, verse 14, this generation, cannibalistic, knife-like teeth, devouring those who stand in its way. And then to verse 15. The horse-leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. Well, studying the leech, you will find that there's not just one sucker on a leech, but there's one at each end of the leech, which they use to attach themselves to their victims. They efficiently use them to suck blood. Commonly, which you're glad you don't live in about 200 years ago, they were a doctor's tool. Because blood, bad blood, could be your problem, young man. Sit still while I attach this leech to you and let it take that bad blood out of you. Take a look. Here we go. Ready? This won't hurt very bad. And attach. Doctor, I think my bad blood's gone. Can I take this creepy creature that's scaring me to death off me? No, son. You got a lot of bad blood. This leech is going to really help you out. The leech is like, yes, I love the medical world in 1775. It's wonderful for us. We used to have to wait till a horse came tromping through the swamp, but not now. Now the doctors come out and they collect us and put us in these little jars. We wait our turn, and then it's buffet time in the doctor's office. I mean, that's the time to be a leech. Not as much today. We've developed a little bit from that time. All right, no more wooden teeth at the dentist's, and no more leeches at the your primary care physician. They tried to get that through. I don't know, with Obamacare, we might be going back that way there, so you never know. You better watch your doctor, or doctor so-called, that you're going to be stuck with for the rest of your life. A great pest, these leeches were among horses, and this symbol here, this symbol of this voracious, insatiable appetite is graphic when we consider the leech and what it says, and that it continually says, give, give, two times give. Maybe that's a reference to the two suckers that the leech has. I don't know. It's a possibility, but we do see this. Verse 15, two daughters. Verse 15, three things. Verse 4, four things. Two, three, four. We see this increasing number. Not satisfied, not content. So, those described in this prophecy. We didn't get this just to learn a science lesson about leeches. I think we were given this to get the picture of a person described here as one in search of anything that will give them pleasure. In search, and they will pursue that pleasure. They will get what they want. They will attach themselves to the objects of their desire and suck them dry. Well, what about the application of this horse leech and the generation in which it exists? Many commentators have pointed out that the horse leech really is representative of man's flesh. Could be the world, could be the devil, but primarily man's flesh that left unchecked is going to be on a lifelong quest to be satisfied. What should be done with the leech? Well, just like if you found one on yourself, you'd want it off ASAP and far away from you, lest it reattach. The same attitude ought to be toward the flesh as it tries to feed itself. Interestingly enough, the flesh feeds itself on us, on ourselves. Here's the progression. Number one, spiritual warmth is the first to go when the leech of the flesh is getting fed. Spiritual warmth, that's the first thing to go. Secondly, attitude. Attitude is the second thing to suffer when the flesh is getting fed. Thirdly, in comes an attraction to others who are also allowing the flesh to get fed. An attraction to others who are doing the same thing. And then, lastly, come the actions that follow. Consider the story of Lot. Something happened with his spiritual warmth. His attitude towards Sodom changed. He was attracted to Sodom the longer he was near to it. And then his actions, sitting in the gate of that perverted city, took place. Oh, and then there's one last thing. God steps in and brings judgment. Spiritual warmth. Let's stop it right there. That leech is getting near. He just wants your spiritual warmth. That's not much. Just a little bit. Just a day or two. Just a little bit of your spiritual warmth. You've kind of forgot about what the Lord did for you when he died on the cross. He gets that gets near. Get it off and get it away. Get it far away right then. Because if not, it's going to stay. And it's going to say, give. It wasn't enough. Spiritual warmth. I'm not full yet. Give me something else. I want a little bit more of your life. How about your attitude? No one has to know a person's attitude. You can keep that under control. You can keep that covered. You can fake that. No one needs to know your attitude. Just give me that. Okay, I'll give you my attitude. I'll give you my spiritual warmth, and I'll give you my attitude. It's not right now toward God. It's not right toward my authority. I'll give you that. That's all, though. No. Give, says the horse leech. I want your attraction. I want you to find others. You'll find others that are just like you, and it'll make you feel okay. Oh, so I can stay a little bit longer if you find others that are like you. Makes it all right, right? Look at all the others. There's your attraction. No more separation. Well, is that enough? No. Give me some more. I want to take more of that blood. I want more of your life. Just go for it. You know, got the spiritual warmth gone. Attitude's bad. You're around others that'll help you in this quest for your flesh. Just dive in. Just go ahead. If you give me your actions, you'll be satisfied then. Just dive in headlong with your whole heart. there's Lot. He did it all. He did it all. You remember what he watched? How he watched Sodom being destroyed from in that cave? Remember what Give did to Lot's daughters? Do you remember? Give Lot's daughters? Perverted. Why? It didn't start with Lot in the cave. It started with spiritual warmth. Then a change in attitude. Then being attracted. Somewhere along the line, I can't help but think there was some type of a warning that came along. Here we have in Proverbs 30, verse 11, here's our warnings. Before we get to verse 15, let's look at our warnings again. Verse 15, there's a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a warning. There's a warning. Father, mother, authority. What about that? There's a warning. How is it? How is it? How is it with your friends' authority? Are you helping them or are you encouraging them to go against that? How is that? How is it? Give. If you have a friend that's saying, give. You don't have to listen to that authority. Just be your own person right now, just a little bit. And the sucker's locked in. Yeah, it's not coming off easy. That's not all at once. Verse 12, pure in their own eyes, yet not washed from their own filthiness. Won't confess their sin, won't recognize their condition. They are lying to themselves. Verse 13, arrogant pride, lifted up eyelids. Teeth are as swords. They're going to lie. They're not going to be satisfied. Hapless generation. The horse leech and her two daughters are running wild. You watch television, you watch commercials, what do you see? The flesh running wild, and everybody is mindlessly running after it, isn't they? Here's satisfaction. Here's the way to be satisfied. They're running headlong after it. Proverbs 30, verse 16. Four things would say it's not enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father, despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. That's really descriptive, isn't it? About as descriptive as that horse leech. Well, I think maybe this young man received some very clear warnings from a father who wanted to wake him up. Picture the leech. Picture that corpse. Picture that raven. How do you like that? Oh, saying okay to the flesh is going to do. I'm not going to be that corpse. I'm going to have that leech on me. There's a generation that sees itself as intelligent while demonstrating the most abject foolishness. That generation, the people of that generation, are doomed. They deny the law of cause and effect. They no longer believe you reap what you sow in God's economy. They no longer believe that. They figured something out. It's too much fun to satisfy the flesh. It's too much fun. It's too exciting to have this quest that the world offers to us. You don't really need to be accountable, is what the world will say. So, this generation has forgotten. Back to chapter 30. What's this generation really forgotten? Verse 6, 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. In the end, they've simply forgotten God's word that they once knew. They once knew that. They once believed, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. They once believed that. But something, maybe an attraction to another person came in, and now they don't believe it as much anymore. They once believed in confessing their sins. And not just saying, I'm humble, but they were willing to be humbled. Humble? Are you willing to be humbled? or the eyelids lifted up. I know better. I know more. Relinquishing God's revealed truth. Whoever wrote this passage, I don't know that they were thinking about 2016, but 2016 certainly applies to the horse leech and to the prophecy that it gives to us. So what about you? What about us? Spiritual warmth? How are you doing? How about your attitude? No one has to know that. But pretty soon your attitude will be attracted to someone with the same attitude. We do know that. Soon your attitude will be attracted to others. And then your actions will follow. And then, after actions, comes God's promise of judgment. We will reap what we sow. He will hold us accountable. We will give an account of ourselves to the Lord. Let's not take this prophecy lightly. There's going to be, for your entire life, something or someone that says, give. Give me some more. Sneak that. Hide that. Just satisfy me. Just a little bit. But it's a little bit more. But then it's a little bit more. Before you know it, spiritually, you won't notice it. But spiritually, there's this disgusting, big, huge, vile creature hanging off of you. How did that get there? Pray that the Lord opens your eyes. Guys, pray that the Lord opens your eyes, practically speaking. I enjoyed Pastor Morrow, his lesson last Friday. Four guys slept through probably about half of it. That was not good. Pastor comes to share truth, very important truth for all of you. Very important truth. Four men missed it. Before you know it, get this disgusting creature. Knock it off before it's too late. Take that leech, whatever it is, get rid of it before the actions get judged by God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this truth. It's simple. It's pointed. Lord, I pray that we might apply it. We ask, God, that you would, as always, use your word to challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.